Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. I'm Team Ready Sai's Bishu and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in Chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. In fact, for the last so many episodes, we are in this chapter. This is a chapter wherein Bhagwan laid down such simple and beautiful principles for us to practice in our daily life, for us to easily emulate in our daily conduct, that every episode has gone in only trying to understand, assimilate and see how we can put these teachings into practice. And in chapter 7, Bhagwan has given one by one so many beautiful principles that will make us dear to God, principles by which we can earn the grace of God, by which we can attain proximity of the Lord. And we started taking each one of them, and in fact Bhagwan very clearly says also that spend time trying to understand each of these principles. And that is what we have been doing in all these episodes. Because Swami says, I'm giving you some selected jewels which are very essential. Treasure them, experience them, put them into practice and derive joy therefrom. In fact, Swami says, decorate yourself with these jewels. That is what Bhagwan says on the request of the Bhakta. Again, Bhagwan has Bhakta is asking, please give us those gems of wisdom which are absolutely important for us in our life. And this is what Bhagwan starts. And there are more than 40 of them, and in every episode we have been contemplating on each of these principles. And we are now in segment 7.3. As I mentioned before, we have just broken it into different segments for our easier comprehension and deliberation. And we are now dealing with point number 23 and 24 of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. So let's listen once again to this segment 7.3, and then we'll continue from where we stopped in the previous episode of Vahini Satsang.
Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So those are the principles that Bhagwan has given us to follow in this segment 7.3. And as I told you before, we were discussing point number 23 and 24. In fact, I spent two episodes just deliberating on point number 23, where Bhagwan says, seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. So I spent two episodes trying to share my thoughts on what is good company, what is the nature of good men, to what extent we should be in the company of the good, and what will this lead to, and how we should pray to God to fill us with that discrimination to identify the good from the bad. And we received a request from a listener after this episode, saying, in today's times, in the Kali age, it's very difficult to say who is good, who is bad, because everyone has shades of both. I remember how Bhagwan used to say that because everyone is a mixture of good and bad in this avatar, Bhagwan did not want to annihilate anyone. He did not want to terminate anyone, just like he had done in the previous avatars, unlike previous avatars where he decimated the evil, whether they were outside the family or within the family. Swami said, now the evil is within every person, so the only way to deal with it is to transform, and that is what the avatar continues to do. So this listener had sent a request saying that everyone has shades of good and bad in them. So it's very difficult to be in good company. And secondly, she said, how do we ensure that the teenagers and youngsters who are connected to so many ways of information and distraction of these times, especially with the social media, who love to party and who love to hang around, how to ensure that these teenagers are in good company? It is so difficult for Sai parents to hold their kids in a satsang or a Sai circle. And she asked, what does Swami say about how to deal with these kids? Should we allow them to go for parties and so on? So that was the question. It was from a Sai parent and an SSC teacher. And in the previous episode, I spent time trying to share my experiences and insights on how we could deal with this thing based on what Bhagwan has said. And in fact, I started saying that we may not always find good people, but we'll always find goodness in people. And if we can only associate ourselves with the goodness around us, that will ensure that we are all the time in good company. And that's what Swami was doing, isn't it? Swami was all the time looking at the good in all of us. And that is how Swami was relating to all of us. And I feel that is the difference between God and man. You might have committed 100 mistakes and you do only one good deed, Lord will look at you through that single good act that you have done. He will look at that one good act with 1,000 eyes. He will not look at the 1,000 misdeeds that you have done. On the other hand, if you have done 1,000 good deeds and one wrong deed, the world will look at that one wrong deed with 1,000 eyes. That is the difference between the world and between God. So, yes, we can be in the company of goodness wherever we are. And then I started sharing the story of a student who joined Bhagwan's university in 2012 after Bhagwan left his physical form to answer the question about how to ensure that the teenagers and youngsters are not too distracted and in the right company. And I started off by saying how this boy, Dev, coming from Kathmandu, Nepal, had no interest in Bhagwan, no interest in the system, and was in a completely different world with his friends, with his parties, with his English movies and English songs and completely westernized culture, and had no respect for the parents, no respect for mother, no love for anyone in the family. He had his own life, his own freedom. Nobody could question him. If a mother questioned him, then he revolted. So he was a rebel child. And how someone told his mother about the university, a college in Puttaparthi, which not only trains people and gives them degrees in secular education, but also can transform their hearts. And that is what caught the attention of the mother, and how mother said to Dev that, come, let's go to Bangalore. And he agreed for Bangalore, thinking Bangalore is a party city, is a hub, it's a pub city. But somehow they land in Puttaparthi, and everything was surprise, surprise, surprise for Dev. And somehow he agrees to mother's request and writes the entrance, and he clears the entrance even though he just does guesswork. And having passed that hurdle, something happens within and something tells him that he should do the interview well and give it a chance, having come this far and having cleared the entrance test surely by providence. And that is how he She gets the interview and he joins the hostel. And when he joins the hostel, it's again a shock for him because he realizes that you have to sleep on the ground, you cannot wear shoes into the room, and the most terrible thing, dreaded thing, there is no internet. He didn't know how to live if there is no Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. He just felt that it is impossible for him to actually survive because he lived on social media and now it was so difficult for him, but somehow he decides to stay on and he is full of questions every day. He's not convinced about any of the rules. He doesn't want to follow any of the rules. He's new to Swami. He doesn't want to listen to all these stories about Bhagwan, but somehow he carries on in the hostel and he finds the environment to be one of warmth, one of love. And he finds that people are willing to spend time with him and explain to him and answer all his questions. He had questions about every little thing in the hostel. Why should we get up at this hour? Why should we go for jogging? Why should we say this prayer? Why should we chant this? Why should we play this game? Why should we do this service activity? Why should there be so many boys in the room? Why should we do the brooming in our room? So he had questions for everything, and the teachers in the hostel answered his dilemmas with so much love, with so much of patience. Why no internet for us? Why these restrictions for us? Everything was dealt with so much of alacrity and patience that it touched Dev, and he felt that here is an institute which is not forcing things on me, which is not telling me that you have to do this. It is only giving me a choice. It is telling me that if you are in the system, then it is good for you if you do this. If you don't like to do this, and if you are not feeling comfortable in the system, you are most welcome to leave. There is no problem. Nobody is binding you here. He found the environment to be very open, and the patience and the love with which everyone was dealing with him somehow slowly changed his perspective, and how attending bhajans was a torture for him. He could not sing these bhajans. The Sanskrit names of the lords would not roll on his tongue, which was used to only English songs. And slowly how the teacher gave him a bhajan book, gave him a Vedam book and told, doesn't matter if you don't understand, just listen and try to think of the meaning of what is being sung or what is being chanted. And he started that practice. So that is how slowly and slowly, steadily, he was getting acclimatized over months to the Satya Sai system of integral education. And there came a point where he felt that perhaps I should test it myself. I've been listening to so much about the system, about Swami. While it seems good, it seems convincing, but I have to do my own examination and be convinced to take this into my heart. And that is how Dev started his own tests. So it started off as a pretty innocent desire. He was in the first semester of undergraduation, and one day he just told Swami in his mind, Bhagwan, all these people, they say that you are God. I don't know what you are, but at least prove it to me that you are some power, because from everything that I have heard, you are definitely not ordinary. I don't know if you are God, but definitely you are beyond the ordinary. You have some power. Can you please prove it to me? Give me some sign that you are the one with supernatural power. all these people who are talking about you, they are not fools, they are all very, very accomplished people. And if all of them are saying this, then there has to be something in this. So you please help me convince myself of your power. And so he felt, let me do a test. If that happens, then I will know that this person, Sai Baba, is indeed a power. And he thought about what could be it, what is the challenge that he could place. And it occurred to him that all his life he has been in the bottom of the class when it came to academics, because he always was just spending time with his friends, never interested in academics, never interested in studies, never cared for what marks he got. He just had his own vagabond lifestyle. So he just mentally told Swami, if I secure the position of first rank in my class in this semester, if I become the topper, then I will know that you are a being with power. And he thought this is quite an impossible thing. It indeed was not something in the realm of possibilities, because he was at the bottom of the class. He was one of the worst students. All his life in school, it is just sheer Swami's grace that he got the admission into the university. The entrance test was completely, I should say, rigged by the divine. So it was orchestrated by the divine. So he made this deal with Bhagwan that if I become the topper, then I will know that you are a power. And he actually told it so casually, and he didn't even say that, okay, I will believe that you are God or something like that. He said, if it happens, then I will consider, you know, then we will see, then I will see what I should make out of everything that I have heard about you. And so from that day, he started following everything in the hostel with a positive mindset. He said, you know, when I'm seeing that this is what I'm expecting, then I should also cooperate. And he felt that from today I will follow all the rules. I will not question anymore. I will very obediently and with full heart participate in all the hostel activities. And he started going for darshans. So he felt that he should be fair to Swami. When Swami, everybody says that this is what is God and this is what he says, he felt, okay, let me believe that. I will do all this, and if I become first, and if it really, something magical really happens, then it is for me a sign about his power. Because he felt that if you want something, they said, if you want something, then you also have to do your part. So he, from that day, started attending the bhajan sessions. And in fact, people started making fun of him, because here was someone who used to skip bhajan sessions, used to roll, hide in the room, cover himself with blankets and cover himself inside the wall, in the hole in the wall where the bed used to be kept. That is how he used to escape from going to mandir. And here, something has happened, and he is holding Bhavan, the Bhajanavali book, and he is holding the Vedam book, he is holding Bhajan's book, and now he is so enthusiastically participating in Bhajan's, even though he cannot sing, he is opening the pages of the book, he wants to understand what each word of the Bhajan means. So all that was quite a surprise for everyone, and in fact people came to him and asked, what's wrong with you, or suddenly, what's right with you actually? So he got all these comments, but he didn't bother. he felt, you know, I should be fair to Bhagwan. It was an experiment and let me do my part well. And the end semester, the first semester ended and there was winter vacation and he went home and he had his time at home. He met his friends and everything and he didn't stay back. He definitely came back. And as soon as he returned to Puttaparthi and joined the hostel, that very night, his room teacher came to him and said, "Congratulations." And he said, "For what? For what?" And he said, "Congratulations, you're asking for what?" He said, "You don't know? You have topped your class. This is your GPA. This is what you have secured." And he said, "Come on, it can't be." Actually, by this time, he had completely forgotten about the deal that he had done with Swami. He said, "No, no, it can't be. Why are you pulling my leg? Did I come really last? Don't make fun of me." And he said, "No, go and see." He said, "No, no, I don't want, this can't be, I don't want to go and see." He said, "Please go and see the notice board. I'm serious. You have come first in your class. I just saw your results," the room teacher said. And he said, "Really?" And so he ran to the institute and he saw the notice board. And he couldn't believe. It was absolutely just something out of the realm of possibilities. How did he get first class? And he was so moved. He went to the hostel and he said he wants to call his mom. And he called her and he said, "Mom, I have stood first in my class." And mom said, What? I can't hear you. Can you say that again?" And he said, "Mommy, I have stood first in my class. I'm the topper." And there was a moment of silence on the other side. And he wondered what happened. Why is mom silent? And then he could only hear some sobs. And in a broken voice, mother said, "Son, I'm very proud of you." His son, who never liked to talk to his mom, his son, who never used to look up and see the mom's face, his son, who revolted being in the presence of the mom, a son who did not care about what my mom is going through for 10 years, whose heart had become like stone in 6 months, became the topper of the class. And Dev says, "For the first time in my life, I felt that I had really done something good in my life. I had made my mom proud of me." And he felt, maybe, finally, I'm undoing all the wrongs that I had done to my mom all these years. Because he would come to the house, not even change his clothes, not even remove his shoes, just go to his room. He would not tell mom where he had gone. He would not care about whether mom had food. He would eat if he wanted to. If he didn't want to, he will not. Nobody can ask him when you came, where were you, did you study, have you written the exams. You cannot question him. Did not like the sight of his mom. He always felt mom is obstructing his freedom. And here he is feeling, perhaps I have now begun to undo all the wrongs that I have done all these years. And of course, from then on, it was a very, very different journey for Dev. After this, he had many more tests with Bhagwan, and every time it was a new chapter, a new learning, a new moment of revelation for him. And he continued to study. Now he was a very changed person. In fact, he studied all his 5 years and continues to now be in the university. In fact, he became so interested in the system and so well read with Bhagwan's life and his teachings that in fact he's the one who compares many of the programs in Cycle 1 Thal. He became a room leader and he became a mentor for new students who are joining the college. The transformation is something absolutely incredible. And all this has happened in a time where Bhagwan's physical presence is not there. Like when Swami's physical presence was there, one darshan, and you don't know what is going to happen within you. But even now, things of the same nature are happening because of the power of the presence of Bhagwan in his institutions. So I narrated the story of Dev only to share how we can deal with teenagers. As I mentioned before, one way it is done in the hostel is keep the schedule very occupied. Empty mind is devil's workshop, Swami used to say. And so, in the hostel, there is hardly any mind space left to think anything else. Every moment of the day is packed with something productive. Every second is spent doing something useful. And when that happens, your student years are spent in the best way possible. Because no moment is wasted in bad habits or distractions. Swami used to say, as a student, you should focus on your studies and Swami. That soul is needed when you are a student. And studies does not mean only academic studies. Studies means your classes, your subjects, as well as your curricular and extracurricular activities. And that is how a student's life is packed with in the Satya Sai hostel. And when that happens, there is very little time left for any distraction. So that is one way to deal with ensuring that teenagers are in good company and their time is not wasted. The second lesson that I can draw from this story is how teenagers will follow rules. It's not as if they want to bypass every rule or overrule every discipline. It is just that they have to be explained to them in a manner that it makes sense to them. They have to be dealt with a lot of patience, with a lot of understanding. And that is what happened in the hostel. The wing teacher, the seniors, everyone, the room leader, they all spent a lot of time with Dev explaining to him. They talked to him for hours together in the hostel. Never get frustrated. Swami says, when you are small, rules can be imposed on you by force, but as you grow older, as you are in the high school and in the college, you have to do things out of source. And that is where guidance is needed. And that is what happened with Dev. But once you are convinced, then a teenager, a youngster follows these rules with greater awareness and with greater sincerity. And that's when he experiences the benefits of it. And once he experiences the benefits of it, then one doesn't have to be after that person to follow. He will himself happily do. I remember in the Vrindavan campus when I was studying, it is mandatory to go for morning jogging, and definitely there will be boys who will be very reluctant, who wants to get up early in the morning, especially in the winters when it is so cold outside, and go out and go for a jog. It is always, the body does not like the inconvenience, but it was mandatory in the system to do it. And as a student, I would do it because it was very strict in those days. But with time, I loved running. In fact, there was a time when even during the end semester exams, when it is exempted for us to go for jogging, especially during exams, even then I would go and run 3 full rounds. It became so much a part of me. It became a joy. It made you fit. It made you so energetic. And that is what the Satya Sai system does. And also there were teachers who explained to you the benefits of it and told you if you pursue, you will yourself see the results. And that is what happened with Dev. He got up early in the morning and himself saw the benefit of doing that. How his day was longer, how his day was more organized, how he was feeling so lively and not lazy if he woke up early in the morning. So that is how rules, when explained with love and patience, can definitely enter the hearts of youngsters, and they will be happy to subscribe to them and follow them. The other way also is how to replace the lower joys with higher joys. Partying is perhaps one way to simply while away time, unless you're doing something productive there. But if we can replace that with something higher, something which will give more fulfillment, if we can introduce the youngsters to do some seva, maybe once in a while come and join a community service, do some random acts of kindness, join some service activity of the organization, maybe create some activity which could channelize the energy in a positive way. Maybe, if not service, go and just see an interesting place. Maybe meet an inspiring personality, or maybe take up some nice community project, but do something which is more fulfilling. If we experience the joy of giving, the joy of being of service to other, or being or connecting to nature, just the sight of sunrise can be so beautiful. Many times, perhaps in the cities, we don't even see the sunrise. To actually go to a spot and wait and see the sun coming out is such a powerful moment. You're in tune with nature. So in tune with the hearts of other people, in tune with the heart of nature, in tune with the love around us. If we take up any activity like that, even that could perhaps be something which could replace our activities like mindless partying to mindful living. It could also be picking up some passion, some way we can channelize the energy to a higher frequency. We can be serving, we can be learning, we can be traveling, we can be teaching, we can be researching. So there are so many ways by which we can replace our lower joys with higher joys. And yes, perhaps sometimes you cannot avoid it. You know, students get together, they want to have fun. But I know a Sai parent in Bangalore who allow the children to go and be in the friend's place. But this mother would keep a tab. It would not be uncontrolled fun. The mother would know who are the friends of the son or daughter and where is he or she going. And he would know the parents of all the children who are friends with her child. So, while it is allowed, but it is in a controlled environment where at least the parents have idea of what is happening and they can ensure that it is healthy fun, and if it's not anything that could be debilitating for the child. So yes, some amount of fun, if it has to be, we can always do, but it has to be in a circumstance and if it in a scenario where the parents are not completely oblivious of what is happening. Swami also wanted fun. We have watched movies with Swami, but it would be healthy fun. It would be inspiring movies. We played games with Swami, Damsharat with Swami, passing the parcel. So many moments and how many sessions we have had laughing riots with Swami. So many jokes he would crack. So many times boys have gone on excursions with Swami. Kodaikanal is all about just relaxing with Swami. Go for shopping, go for horse riding, go for boating, go for sightseeing. All that has happened. But it is always healthy fun. It is always something that at the end of the day does not drain you. You have no regrets. At the end of the day you feel so happy, so jubilant, so energized. Something to cherish. Something which makes you better at the end of the day. So that is perhaps another way to see how we can guide teenagers so that their time does not get wasted in these times of technology, where technology can be used in fantastic ways to increase our awareness and knowledge, and at the same time it can also make us dumb and stupid and in fact kill all the goodness in us. I think it is for this reason that people who are tech czars, people who have revolutionized telecommunications, people who are the heroes of social media, for example, the first president of Facebook, Sean Parker, he said, social networks are exploiting human vulnerability. And he warned, God only knows what it is doing to our children's brains. This is what the first president of Facebook said. So they understand that all these has to be used in limits and in a controlled environment. Otherwise, he says, God only knows what this will do to our children's brains. Tim Cook, Apple CEO, he says, I don't have a kid, but I have a nephew that I have put some boundaries on. There are things that I will not allow him to do. I don't want him to be on the social network. I don't believe in overuse of technology. I'm not a person that says that we have achieved success if you are using technology all the time. I don't subscribe to this view at all. Who is saying this? Apple CEO, Tim Cook. He says, I don't believe in overuse of technology. I don't say that if you're using technology all the time, then you are a successful person. So all these people, they are linking tech usage to mental health. In fact, now there is evidence to prove that delegating thinking tasks to our devices could not only be making our brains sicker, but also lazier. And that is what is happening. Simple things that we used to on our own remember, think, everything is being now delegated to our devices. We are not using the capabilities of the biggest computer ever created in creation, the most fantastic organ, the brain. Researchers have found that smarter, more analytical thinkers are less active on their smartphone. they are not using these smartphone search engines like other people. It's not as if using the search engine is a dumb thing or anything of that sort, but they found that there is a link between less analytical thinking and more smartphone scrolling. So, becoming more and more dependent on our devices is definitely not healthy for us. If we explain all this to the teenagers, because these are all scientific facts, these are research studies which are done. Similarly, researchers have also found that people who take in complex information from a book instead of from a screen develop deeper comprehension and engage in more conceptual thinking. Brand new research on dozens of smartphone users in Switzerland suggests that staring at our screens could be making both our brains and our fingers more jittery. So these are not things being said off the hat. These are detailed conclusions after years of study of the influence of technology in our lives. So these have to be explained to the current generation. And we need to tell them that more tapping, clicking and social media posting and scrolling is only making our brain signals noisier. It is not calming them. Today's youngster, a millennial, will say, without my phone, I will not last. It will be as if I am on a fast, weak, dreary and dry, wings cut, how can I fly? I mean, that is how the current generation person will say. But what we have to remember is, with advances in telecom, as data becomes cheap, our desire should not become flimsy. With advances in artificial intelligence, as we have smarter phones and convenient homes, let our body not become lazy and our goals hazy. With advances in transport, as we travel more and enjoy to the hilt, let our minds not find it difficult to be still. As artificial intelligence continues to invade our lives, let awakened intelligence pervade our likes and dislikes and direct our energy and emotion towards intuition and inspiration, because ultimately more than knowledge is intuition. So these have to be communicated, and everything, if explained with love, patience, the millennials of today will definitely absorb. We need to have a no phone zone in our lives. To connect to everyone, I need my phone. But to connect to myself, I need no phone. I just got to be in the zone. This zone defines me and strengthens me. At times safeguards me from the hazards of my phone. So I think this is so important for every parent and every youngster. When we ask something for the youngster to do, then he will first see, is the parent following that? And only then he will consider to emulate that. So I think it's so important as we guide the youngsters of today that we need to use technology in the way that it is our servant and we don't become its servant. That we use it as an asset for our growth and it does not use us for its growth. If we apply ourselves and think deeper and explain all this to the youngsters, then definitely they will seek the company of good and they will spend their time productively. So coming back to point number 23, and I think I have answered the question of the listener about how to deal with teenagers with, to some extent. And if there's anything that you, listener, have anything to add about how to ensure that the teenagers of today don't lose their time in partying, and how can they become useful? How can they ensure that they're growing up in the right manner? How to help parents in guiding their youngsters towards this? If you have any thoughts, please do share. I shared whatever occurred to me. So going back to point number 23, Swami says, seek the company of good men even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and bad. I think this is so important. Prayer. I think if the habit of cultivating to depend on God, to seek the grace of God, to connect with God, that is so important, because there are so many things we, even after we trying, it may not happen as parent, as a child, as a youngster, as a millennial, we have to know how to tap the power of the divine, and that is something that will need lifetime of cultivation, lifetime of exercise, lifetime of experimentation, and from an early age, we should know how to pray, how to seek the grace to deal with life and its vicissitudes. So I think prayer should form such an important part in the life of every student, and that is how it is in the Satya Sai Hostel. You have prayers right from morning till the evening, morning suprabhatam to night prayer to food prayer to college prayer to bhajans. Prayers are there all the time, and I think that is so critical, and to ensure that we are in good company. And the next point Bhagwan talks about, no doubt those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. In fact, both are connected, isn't it? Because here, when we are trying to restrain our tendencies to go to see things outside, and tendency to constantly be seeking external stimuli, all the time looking for notifications on the phone, then somehow we are not controlling the urges within us. So Swami is saying that while people who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world can be heroes, but only those who have conquered the senses can be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. And in fact, if you look at some of the giants of history who have influenced the minds of men for generations, take a Buddha, take a Mahavira. These were beings who controlled their senses. Buddha all the time talked about Samyak Drishti. Bhagwan used to talk about Samyak Drishti, Samyak Shravanam, Samyak Walk, Samyak Bhavam, Samyak Chintanam, which means right hearing, right speech, right feeling, right thinking. This is what Buddha talked about all the time. In fact, Buddha, Buddhism and Jainism, Buddha and Mahavira, they stress so much on controlling the mind. Master the mind and be a mastermind, Bhagwan used to say. They unravel the secrets of the universe by controlling the mind. And Swami says, if you can do that, you will conquer the universe. And that is what they did. A youngster might say that, you know, I cannot become Buddha. I mean, those are very too lofty an ideal for me to think about. I'm not a Buddha, or I'm not a Mahatma Gandhi, I'm not a Mahavira, people might say. But even to achieve simple things in life, you definitely need to control your senses. I remember talking to Sai Samhita, a 10th class student, 10th grade student from Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vihar, Vishakhapatnam, Bhagwan school in Vishakhapatnam. She recently won gold medal in Asian Games in artistic skating. She does roller skating and she won a gold medal for the first time. An Indian, a little girl, won gold medal. She made the country proud. She was called by the President of India, and during the Republic Day on January 26, 2020, she was given a medal in the Rashtrapati Bhavan by the President of the country, and she was part of the Republic Day parade in New Delhi. And how did she achieve this? From age 4, she has been practicing every day, 6 to 8 hours every day, roller skating practice. Very, very restricted time for her to spend on phones, and very restricted time for her to spend on other socializing and partying. The full concentration was on bettering the skill and becoming a better roller skater. And when you put that kind of an effort, and when you ensure that you subscribe to the limitations and the restraints wholeheartedly, then the kind of results that you achieve becomes phenomenal, and it improves your willpower so phenomenally that after that you can do anything in life. And Swami says, once you can master the mind, you can become a mastermind. And it is so vital to cultivate this at a young age, because as we grow older, it becomes even more difficult to control the mind. If you have learned, developed that willpower to not get too carried away by the urges of the senses, it should always be that when I want to stop something, it is within me to stop it. Yes, I can eat this, but if I think I will not eat it, it should not be that even if I don't want it, I'm not able to control myself. I think that is something that definitely needs years of practice, and being in Balvikas, being in Satya Sai system of education, being in SAIA family, being in study circles, it helps us to ensure that we don't give completely free hand to our minds. And that's what Swami is telling. It is not really important to become a hero, earn a lot of name and fame. What is more important is if you can conquer the senses, then you can actually be conqueror of the universe. So that's what Bhagwan is saying in point number 24 of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarani. So we'll continue this. Dear listeners, there are so many more precious gems of wisdom in this segment 7.3, and we'll take this in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang. As always, if you have any queries, if you'd like to share any thoughts, if you want to add to anything that I have said, or want to have anything for me to learn, any corrections that I need to do, please tell me. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org, bishu@radiosai.org. As always, you can send your feedback and comments to our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Thank you so much for being with us all through this program, as well as through the day-long Thursday life. With gratitude and love, we offer this program and all our effort at His lotus feet, and we hope that it helps in some ways for us to march towards becoming dearer and nearer to Bhagwan. That is the goal. That is the destination. That is the only objective of having these programs, so that we experience lasting joy and lasting peace. Thank you so much. Sayonara.